Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. No, yesterday I did not finish going through all of the material that I've got on Snowden, and I hope to get through it today. There's some news that's just worth, you can't avoid talking about some of this stuff, and unfortunately a lot of this stuff really isn't going anywhere, but it deserves comment, that's all I'll say. This show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org, and this show is all about giving you the information you need to know so that you can get involved and understand what you need to do in getting the federal government back into doing those things that are enumerated in the Constitution and getting those other things back to the states that the federal government has no business in doing. The listen number, if you cannot tune in or stream Red State Talk Radio at a given point in time, you can always dial in at 605-562-4209. Now, and as a matter of fact, the interview with Dr. Vile will probably go next week. And one of the things I talked to him was, it's just so pathetic that we have nobody, we have nobody in D.C., in office, that understands the Constitution. I mean, Nancy Pelosi, she's pointing to a constitutional crisis because they can't get the unredacted Mueller report. And I'm going, really? It has nothing to do with all of the unconstitutional acts and powers that you're exercising? All of the crap that you're doing that you have no business doing? That's not a constitutional crisis. Just because you can't get a report so that you can possibly, and this is grandstanding, so that she can keep her rabid communists at bay who want Trump to burn an effigy. What I believe Trump should do, and this is probably what I would do. I would go find the full Star report that is unredacted, and I would not just release it to Congress. I would just release the entire Star report to everybody so that, okay, you want to see it? You can see it in a few, in a few presidential terms. But here's the one that the Republicans asked for that you guys tried to grandstand and say, no, we don't want to see that. We don't want it. And give them their carmuppance, if you want to call it that, because bottom line, it is all about political posturing, and that's all this is. That's all it ever is. I will be doing, like I said, I will be doing the follow-up on Snowden, but which I've got a lot of stuff to go through. But before I do that, let me do my obligatory stuff. If you drink coffee and you like premium coffee, go get your Red State Coffee grinds. You will probably find that you won't be able to get this kind of premium coffee out there. I mean, it's all, getting that good coffee is kind of like the holy grail. I mean, most people just, they get their Joneses with whatever they can, but, it's always nice to have something that is actually worthwhile to make that moment memorable. And I've been told by, many a coffee drinkers that, there's one thing about having the coffee, but it's another thing about having that kind of coffee that just makes that moment, and from that moment on, or, however long that the buzz lasts on such a good cup of coffee. So try and get your Red State Coffee grinds and just give them a try. Send me an email and what you think regarding Red State Coffee. We also could use some help If you want to get engaged in your county and state, send us an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And we also support the Constitution Club. So go get your go join constitutionclub.ning.com and get involved. I had a nice conversation with Keith Borders yesterday. And it's always, I really enjoy speaking with such great patriots like him. Here's a person that has spent a lot of his life in doing really good work and trying to help people understand what the heck's going on, what is this Constitution, what we should be doing, and so forth. If you want to see and if you want to be exposed to some really good material, it is right there on the constitutionclub.ning.com. The other group that I always mention is Our First Right. They're trying to get a Madison Amendment ratified, and it should be ratified. I support this, and that's why I ask you to go check out ourfirstright.org so that you can get involved with that one amendment so that we can get better representation. Again, and I'm going to ask this, I'm going to try to ask this every day just to remind you, Constitution Day is coming up. I've been saying it for a couple of months now, and I'm going to keep saying it as we get closer and closer to September. What are you doing? Let me know what kind of plans you have, what the heck's going on, how you're celebrating, and what you're planning on doing to make a greater awareness, to make a greater impact for Constitution Day, because there's probably no more important day other than probably some of the religious holidays such as Easter and so forth. Anyway, let me thank you also for tuning in, because it is you that is growing our show and growing our listenership, and I appreciate that. I appreciate the fact that you are getting involved, at least in that way, and that's a start. And as I checked through the news, there has been news that, you know, causes one to think, but not one fragment of news that is showing that the federal government is going to relinquish any of their unconstitutional powers. So what do? We have to get involved. They're not going to. It is antithetical to think that somebody is going to downscale their own power, their own controls over things. The typical action is that they just aggrandize them. They try to grow them. They try to increase their controls and power. Red Pill Expo coming up in Hartford, Connecticut, June 7th, 8th, and 9th. Are you going to be there? If you live in the area, you will regret not going. I am so thankful that I went last year. So make sure you actually take advantage of the opportunity, especially those in the northeastern seaboard. I wanted to talk about just a couple of things before I get into Snowden. And the first one was the Iran situation. And most people don't understand, you know, the history of Iran. I don't know all of the details, but I can tell you my perspective, because I remember when I was in the Marine Corps, I just recently had joined. And shortly after I joined and shortly after I'd kind of been settled into the Marine Corps, the Iran hostage crisis took off. And I go, what the heck's going on? And then we started seeing the rabid, radical Islamist and what they were trying to do. 444 days, those Americans were kept in as hostages until Ronald Reagan became president. That's how long those people were hostages. And, you know, there's not a lot of talk about it anymore. That, you know, I guess they had their 15 minutes in fame, but I just want to put it in perspective. Iran at that point, you know, had butter knives, you know, that were sharpened, and I mean the extent of their warfare was outdated Russian materials and so forth. And they had a lot of U.S. stuff too, but I think that they were at that point in time trying to purchase some of the Russian outdated material. Nevertheless, they may have had some weaponry and so forth, but they were just so unsophisticated. How is it that since the 70s to today, They are now, they've got a nuclear enrichment program. How did that happen? I mean, they have been our enemies. And how is it that they have gotten that type of technology? Do you remember Clinton in the 90s? Do you remember the incident where supposedly a Chinese scientist had a hard drive that had information regarding uranium enrichment and so forth for nuclear power? Well, that's what happened. And so China has been using all of the stuff that they've been able to steal and get Clinton to sign over so that he can get money for his reelection and so forth. If you do not believe what I am telling you, go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, go to the Red State Talk Radio podcast, and go read the congressional record testimonies from Curry and Winterm right there, page 13. They actually spell out the timeline of, you know, Chinese wanted this or Chinese did this, and then Clinton did something else. They gave him money. Clinton gave them something else. It is a quid pro quo classic case of the Chinese extrapolating U.S. secrets. And even though the president has discretion, what he did was not only unethical, what he did was treasonous. There's no doubt in my mind that is the definition of treason. And so I'm at a hard break, but when we come back, we'll move on because I'm just going to let that go. Go read that testimony, and we will be right back after this hard break. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so moving past Iran, because the only reason I brought it up is as I continue to think about how backwards they were, how they, it's not that they were living in tents at the time, but they have progressed a lot regarding technology. But the other interesting thing is the same thing with China. How well or how much improvement in the quality of life has occurred for Iranians or for Chinese, for that matter, or any of these military ideologue states that, you know, they just want to dominate, they want to get even with, and so forth. And they're so possessed by their military strategies and their ideological strategies that the people end up continually suffering. It's not like they've got improved food processing. I mean, their focus is all on military, even though they're a very rich nation in trying to sell their oil and so forth. And all of this has been something that is, you know, constantly held them back. And you'd think that the people would just rise up. But anyway, like I said, moving on. I found it very interesting. The kids are stopping to realize that they are being programmed because the walkout on the politicizing for gun control in the Colorado shooting for this memorial, this apparently the kids just walked out and they were just fed up with the politics in trying to say we need to control guns and so forth. And as the kids were walking out, the children were walking out, they were chanting mental health, mental health. And I find that interesting because at least they're being attuned and they're starting to realize that, you know, it's not necessarily the pencil that misspells the word. It is actually, you know, that brain, that person, or whatever those shortcomings is of the person holding that pencil. And so education, what have you. And so it's interesting that there's maybe this awakening. I know that I've talked with other people about trying to counter the brainwashing. As a matter of fact, I'll just say this because I think I talked about this with Alex Newman, that kids naturally have this anti-establishment, authoritarian, resist this. But for years and years, they've been mollycoddled by the state in education, and they've completely embraced everything that they've just been spoon-fed. And why is it that we don't start focusing on, you guys need to resist this brainwashing that you're getting and reject this kind of crap that you're learning and just start showing them that there is actually real truth out there instead of agendas and instead of propaganda. Another thing that I thought was really interesting in the news is Obama blasting Trump and regarding his trade deficit and how China's walking all over him and so forth. Are you kidding me? Obama, Bush, Clinton, they were all welcome mats for the Chinese. It was, we were going to have a trade deal and, oh, we were going to bend over. And I'm going, you've got to be kidding me. He's actually criticizing Trump, and I applaud Trump for actually trying to engage and fight back on the economic front. And I truly believe that all we have to do is have a reactive automatic system that if they want to raise prices or they want to start cutting prices, we basically have an immediate reaction to that so that we apply the appropriate imposts on every piece of Chinese crap that comes into America. Now, one other thing, I just find it interesting that all of these has-beens just can't stay out of politics. Whether it's Robert De Niro, and I'll give Robert De Niro credit, he's actually been in movies and so forth lately. So he's not as much of a has-been, but come on, Cher, really? She's just got to inject herself into, and so I guess they have nothing else to do. So, well, let's talk about politics. Let's mingle with the minions out there. Anyway, let me kind of go forward. And as a matter of fact, one of the things I left off yesterday in talking about Snowden, and I wanted to, the reason I'm talking about this is because I see way too many libertarians that think he is a hero. And so the information I'm trying to offer and the analysis, or I should say my perspective on this, is one, to prove that he's not a hero, and two, he is just another opportunist that has betrayed the Constitution by aiding and abetting our enemies. That's all he has done. On the flip side, he has gone out there and tried to prove himself as the ultimate whistleblower on what is going on in America. And that has nothing to do with it. He is self-aggrandizing himself, and that's it. Let me go into, what he was doing. And actually, the last thing I commented last night was, in May 2006, Snowden was the one who wrote in Ars Technica that he had no trouble getting work because he was a computer wizard. Obviously, the quote, computer wizard, close quote, is a perspective that he has of himself. Now, there's nothing wrong to have a good opinion of yourself, but obviously he was a little possessed by his opinion of himself. And so moving on, while he was working, because at this point in time, he's working at the CIA in 2006, he got that job. And oh, by the way, he had to wait probably 6 months before his clearance, because that's what it shows, that he got hired, I think, in May, and it was like October or somewhere in there. And so on the contractor side, it is a lot slower to get your clearance because the priority goes to those who are sitting in a government position. They've got to get themselves cleared. And so if you're a young kid like Snowden, you don't have years and years of history, home purchases and all, because they get into every facet of your life. Where have you lived? Who have been your friends? Who do you associate with? What groups? And so, I mean, they go through your life with a fine-tooth comb. So the younger you are, the better off it is, and the quicker they can usually close and adjudicate your clearances and access. So I believe the first time he truly got access was in 2006, where he was read into very specific programs. Now, he didn't have ultimate access, never did, never would. And as a matter of fact, it's always been that way. Even higher ups, I remember touring with the tip of the spear in the Marine Corps, and even the commanders and so forth, they were given some specific accesses, but I knew of a lot of other different programs that I know they didn't have access to. That was held at a much higher level. And there's reasons for that. And there's no way that Snowden had that kind of access. But you kind of get overwhelmed when you get read in and so forth. But anyway, after distinguishing himself as a junior employee on the supposedly top computer team, Snowden was sent, and this is all his accounts, and that's why it's always, distinguishing top and so forth. And so these words that he's put into this dialogue really, makes him look great. So Snowden was sent to the CIA Secret School for Technology Specialist, where he lived in a hotel for 6 months while studying and training full time. Okay, so that's instead of the military living in the barracks, they have to put you up in a basic hotel. So that's what they do, and that's part of the course. So in March 2007, when he finally got out of that school, he was then stationed as a diplomatic cover, supposedly, in Geneva, Switzerland, where he was responsible for maintaining computer network security. Assigned to the U.S. permanent mission to the United Nations, a diplomatic mission. So everything he's doing right here is not necessarily what I would say what he exposed everybody to. And if you understand diplomacy and all of that type of stuff, that is more on the human side. That's not necessarily signals intelligence or communications intelligence or what have you, where you're just pulling a lot of data in, which is what he exposed. So the first thing he really got into is diplomacy and diplomatic security systems, probably, and that type of stuff. So it was really small-time stuff. Because the focus is human intelligence, working resources and developing relationships with sources and so forth. Anyway, while he was assigned to the U.S. permanent mission to the United Nations, a diplomatic mission representing U.S. interests before the UN and other international organizations. And oh, by the way, where's the UN? The UN is in New York. and he's in Switzerland. So I don't see, you know, the real ties into the UN here. But anyway, it kind of creates this greater omnipotent type of assignment. But Snowden received a diplomatic passport and 4-bedroom apartment near Lake Geneva. Now, I believe that's where Deep Purple was, you know, in a very similar situation when they were recording, or right before they recorded Smoke on the Water. Anyway, I figured I'd throw that tangent in on Lake Geneva shoreline. Anyway, according to Greenwald, and I'm at a hard break, so we'll come back and I'll try to cut back on a little bit of the levity, but we'll get back into his career with the CIA before he gets into subcontracting for NSA. So we'll be right back after this. So please stay tuned and we'll get more into really what Snowden was doing and why he did what he did. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those 3 C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
So anyway, according to Greenwald, as I was just going into before we went into the break, according to Greenwald, while there, Snowden was considered, the top technical and cybersecurity expert in country, and was handpicked by the CIA to support the president at the 2008 summit in Romania. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that he was handpicked to, you know, design the architecture? No, he was handpicked to be the guy hands-on in providing cyber access, systems access, or what have you, because they don't go into the details. But what they do go into is, here's an opportunity where, you know, Snowden had a real cloak and dagger experience with the CIA because he was in this real hostile country where we needed, you know, really important information regarding, you know, weaponry and so forth. I'm elaborating here, but anyway. Snowden described his CIA experience in Geneva. Now, you got to understand, Geneva is probably the most open country in Europe. It's not what I would consider the vestige of you know, cloak and dagger, but and he describes his experience as formative, stating that the CIA deliberately got a Swiss banker drunk and encouraged him to drive home. Snowden said that when the latter was arrested, a CIA operative offered to help him in exchange for the banker becoming an informant, because this banker knows something. And I'm going, really? I mean, you know, it sounds really good and it sounds cloak and dagger, but this is human. This is where you develop a resource or so forth. And in Geneva, Switzerland, banking, okay, maybe, you know, maybe this happened. But this is not cybersecurity. This is not him being this, you know, computer wizard that he was claiming. This is about, you know, human. This is what the CIA is notorious for, right? So I think it, you know, it's an interesting story, but it has nothing to do with how he was being shaped as this lead architect for national security systems for all of the agencies or anything like that. So moving on, Uli Maurer, who is the president of the Swiss Confederation for 2013, in that year, he publicly disputed Snowden's claims. This would mean that the CIA successfully bribed the Geneva police and the judiciary. With all due respect, I can't imagine it. And Maurer, in February 2009, Snowden resigned from the CIA. So Snowden goes to Switzerland in 2007, and he resigns 2 years later from the CIA in February, right? So it's basically 2 years, just a little shy of 2 years with all of this great exposure. Now, I can imagine that you have had a job and you've walked into maybe an overwhelming environment where there's all of these different things and the intrigue, the personal politics of people backstabbing, people trying to get promoted, all of that kind of crap going on. And so 2 years, it's really hard for somebody to hit the ground running and actually understand processes, understand the culture. It takes a little while to, you know, completely immerse yourself in some of this stuff. And so I just have a hard time believing that Snowden walked away with, you know, this profound understanding of the CIA, especially when he wasn't even in Langley and wasn't involved in the upper ups of, you know, the Langley operations and everything else. So that being what it is, now in 2009, early 2009, Snowden was out of a job, or he resigned, and he instantly walked into a different job. And so I have seen this. He probably got exposed to this contractor, which is Dell. And he instantly began working at Dell, where he managed computer systems. So, okay, now he's getting back into something that he wants to cut his teeth on. Because in all honesty, though, that 2 years in Switzerland just wasn't cutting it. It just wasn't getting to his level of work satisfaction. So he starts managing computer systems for multiple government agencies. So he says, assigned to an NSA facility at Yokota Air Base. Now, I'm having a hard time. I understand the Air Force has their agencies, but I will tell you, there's a term for agencies, and it's called stovepipes. And the real problem that the intelligence community has always faced, and if you look into this, is that these systems don't really interconnect and that they don't necessarily allow people to bridge these types of systems. It just doesn't happen. And so I don't know if this is just aggrandizing or what, but I will say this, that while he was at Yokota, he probably had access to some of these systems. But again, these aren't necessarily top-level systems. In other words, There's a, you know, back at the mothership is where all the stuff is coming in and where all of the information is coming in. So he only had very limited access in 2009 at the Japanese Yokota. So now he flies from Europe all the way over to Asia and is at Yokota Air Base, again in Tokyo. And Snowden instructed top officials and military officers. Interesting. He instructed, as the new guy that just got hired, as a, what is he? He is a contractor for Dell. So in other words, he doesn't have any authority. But he instructed top officials and military officers on how to defend their networks from Chinese hackers. Now, I can see as a subject matter expert, he would probably provide information and insights of what they can do and give them recommendations and so forth. But I think instructed and telling them exactly what they need to do and they better do it is a little bit different. And so, again, you can kind of see the ego or the persona of Snowden in a lot of these writings. During his 4 years with Dell, he ascended from supervising NSA computer system upgrades to working as what his resume termed as a cyber strategist and an expert in cyber counterintelligence. At several U.S. locations, in 2011, he returned to Maryland, which is where the NSA is, where he spent a year as lead technologist on Dell's CIA account. Interesting. Maryland on Dell's CIA account. So he goes on and says, in that capacity, he was consulted by the chiefs of the CIA technical branches, including the agency's chief information officer and its chief technology officer. U.S. officials and other sources familiar with the investigation said Snowden began downloading documents describing the government's electronic spying programs while working for Dell in April 2012. So what they are inserting here in Wikipedia is that this is where analysts or the exposure of what he had put out or they extrapolated out of some of the documents, he had to have gotten some of these things while he was in this position. This is how far back he started copying things. It wasn't, you know, this... It wasn't, to me, this wasn't a, oh my goodness, because at any point, and I have to point out that I have yet to see Snowden releasing all of these emails that he claims he had with, you know, these exchanges and or documents of pointing out the constitutionality and so forth. I honestly don't think that he was as vocal and as a big of a whistleblower while he was employed because he saw the, you know, hey, if, because what happens? What happens if you start to, if the first time you mention, hey, I think something's wrong here, well, then all of a sudden they pull you to the side and you get reassigned and all of a sudden you no longer have your hands on those systems anymore. And so I don't believe that he was really, you know, being the champion for the Constitution, telling his supervisors that what we're doing is wrong here. I believe that he was just trying to piece together a good opportunity in copying stuff. And so the real question is, maybe Snowden had been compromised while he was in Europe and started, you know, being directed to be moved in, he could have been actually an active mole or an active spy for the Soviet Union and or for, because he was in China's hands, remember? And China took everything and, you know, or copied everything and let him go. Because there's no way China would have just been hands off. Oh, well, we better not grab that stuff. They have full control. They are an authoritarian state. They probably stripped him down. He was probably sitting in a cell completely naked after doing a cavity search and everything else. And they probably got everything. They gave everything back to him and said, okay, we're sending you off to Russia because Russia's asking for you and here's all your stuff. But my point is that there is no way that Snowden was looking at the constitutionality, because at no point had he started challenging, you know, should we even be doing this? Is this legal? And so far, none of this has been directed as far as spying on U.S. and so forth. So we will be right back after this break. So please stay tuned, and I'll give you some more on Snowden when we get back.
Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue, to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, now remember, some of this information was coming from Greenwald and Poitras. Excuse me. And these are the reporters that Snowden was basically giving and handling and or working these assets, because that's all these guys were to him, was an asset. And so analysts, and as the investigators looked at this and analyzed this, they estimated that of the 50 to 200,000 documents Snowden gave to these two journalists, most of these were copied by Snowden while working at Dell. In other words, I don't believe that Snowden's assignments at any point, because working in Yokosuka, none of that is spying on Americans. Those are programs and, you know, spying on China or what have you. I'm absolutely sure, because you're not over there spying on American citizens in Japan. and the point is that there's no point in time where Snowden, you know, even talks about the history of blatant constitutional violations. None. There is no, you know, I've just been exposed to this evil machine. Because I'm here to tell you, the Constitution has delegated, the states have clearly delegated to the U.S. government the priorities of national security. They are responsible for national security. And so, obviously, he was an opportunist and was already copying documents that he felt were of interest so that he could start exposing things. Snowden had said that he had told multiple employees, supposedly, and two supervisors about his concerns, but the NSA disputes his claim. Snowden elaborated in 2014, saying, "I made tremendous efforts to report these programs to coworkers, supervisors, and anyone with proper clearance who would listen." Okay, so if he did, where's the document trail? Where is the emails? If he really was actually trying to cover his butt, because he was obviously copying documents at will. And so my point is that he has no evidence that he's really brought forward with emails that he has sent and their responses back or anything like that to show that these people were completely aware of these egregious violations. And I think it is all hyperbole. And so moving on, he says, the reactions of those I told about the scale of the constitutional violations, because he's really smart about computers and he understands the Constitution in and out because he's also a constitutional scholar. I don't get that from him. And so I think people look for heroes and they, you know, when they find somebody has, you know, challenged authority, then that person instantly becomes a hero. And that's not true. All this has really happened is a narcissist was able to get away from the establishment. So he's running on the lam and now he's protected by an evil, bad player. So anyway, the reactions of those I told about the scale of constitutional violations range from deeply concerned to appalled, but no one was willing to risk their jobs, families, and possibly even freedom to go through what Drake did. And so I don't understand who Drake or what Drake is, but I think that's code word. I didn't extrapolate anything on that, but obviously that was an example. And I think that if you look up, because they have Thomas Andrews as a reference to Drake, so I have to look that up. But nevertheless, in 2014, during testimony to the European Parliament, Snowden wrote that before revealing classified information, he had reported clearly programmatic programs to 10 officials who he said did nothing in response. And in May 2014 interview, Snowden told NBC that after bringing his concerns about the legality of the NSA spying programs, now he was only with the NSA with Booz Allen for a very short period of time. And spying programs to officials, he was told to stay silent on the matter. Now, I'm not sure, you know, about any of this because it's all his word and he has no corroborating evidence to prove how he was such an ethical-minded person. Here's the guy that's been copying while he was with the CIA all sorts of documents, but he was so ethical that he was trying to guard the Constitution. He asserted that the NSA had copies of his emails he sent to their office, but he didn't have any oversight and compliance personnel. So here is, he's claiming he's got these emails, but he never made copies. Concerns about the NSA interpretations of its legal authorities. I had raised these complaints not just officially in writing through email, but to my supervisors, to my colleagues. See my point? Where's the evidence, Snowden? Where's the evidence? You copied all this other crap, but you couldn't get your own emails? Really? I'm not buying it. I can't buy this. Even if, and I got 5 minutes to end this. I can easily go in and on and on. I can present more and more material, but none of it will provide any real evidence that this guy is a substantial hero. Everything you look at and the way he looks at himself and the way he's presented himself, because he is in full control, I truly believe we're dealing with a narcissist that really thought much higher of himself. And I've dealt with people like that. I've worked with people like that. And I know exactly how they function and operate. And it's all about them. And as soon as they don't feel like they are the center, they're jumping and they want to move off and be somewhere else because they want to be the center. They need to be the center. So here's the thing. What Snowden did was treasonous, and especially hiding in the Soviet Union and why he went there instead of just China, because obviously he was in Japan, but I don't think that the Chinese and those operatives were even looking at him. I honestly believe he probably had connections with the Soviet Union and Russia spying while he was in Geneva. Everybody's in Geneva because that's a great place to have a good time. It's not where you're going to be worried about getting shot or anything like that. But here's the point. What he should have done was he should have exposed these pieces of information because he already knew who these champions in the Senate, like Rand Paul and others, who would have easily been able to take this and would have been able to stand up and probably even would have protected him in whistleblowing due to the fact that he wasn't trying to expose the U.S. in a harmful way, but was trying to expose that the U.S. was doing things it shouldn't. But what he should have done was he should have provided any of this information, on all of this information, to a constitutional authority that has the sovereignty over the Constitution. And that would have been state legislators. The problem is, and I understand this, the problem is that there is no mechanism. So he was in Hawaii at the time. He should have gone down to the Hawaii state legislators. He was on Oahu. I believe he was up at Waihawa, and he should have gone down to the state legislators and he should have handed over and sat down with one of them and actually pulled in all the other state legislators. There needs to be a system for the states to where they have a skiff where they can actually, you know, you can walk in and expose something like this if you're in one of these positions in Maryland or what have you. And a critic goes out to every single state. The important thing is that every state has to understand and know what the heck's going on so that the states, why the states? Why is it the states? Because it is their constitution, because they're the ones that should have oversight. When you allow the subcontractor to have oversight over their own actions, then you've got a real problem. It's just like, you know, internal affairs for a police department. You really need to have autonomy and complete separation between these types of departments. And the best and the right constitutional organization to have this type of oversight would be the states. Why didn't he go to the states? Why did he not recognize this? If he was such a good understanding person of the Constitution, why did he ignore taking this information to the states instead of becoming this famous hero that is living in Russia and being protected and probably providing nefarious code to all these journalists and everything that he's doing today? I don't think this guy's a hero. There's nothing in his actions that proves that he was a hero. And it's really sad that you see these anarchists and these kids today that are libertarians or what have you, their wiring is of such that, oh, he stuck it to the man, so he's a hero. No. Actually, what he has done is he's done more damage than good. We all knew because Rand Paul had been out there already talking and complaining about some of these programs. We all know, this is just like the drone program and all of this intelligence collection. We all knew in 2012 that they were already passing laws such as the Armed Forces, what was that? The Armed Forces Financing, where McCain was authorizing the federal government to withhold U.S. citizens indefinitely by the military if they thought that they were terrorists or what have you. Are you kidding me? We were all aware of these problems. I'm here to tell you, Snowden was not a hero and he never will be a hero. And he has no evidence of being that hero. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.